Greetings. This is further on the subject of someone who's talking about visiting here. And it also extends that really good email that Sabine sent out about being total. This person that wanted to come here was talking, and I said something about him, and Sabine said, "Why didn't you tell him that?" You see, let's put it this way. I see, or it looks as though I see, it seems as though I see, many depths in people, starting off with the behavior they present to us, and just behind that what they're covering up, and so on and so on and so on, right through to the unformed, of which we all are. So when I see a person, if they tune in, if I tune in, which I don't do very often now, I've gone to somewhere else where I don't tune in. If I tune in, or the person invites me to tune in, I see many levels. And then something in here responds to a level in them that is appropriate. Now, when I say appropriate, it isn't always something that the person is comfortable with, but something in Paul will not go beyond a certain place with this person. Often people in the groups used to say, tell me everything I need to hear. And occasionally, more like a demonstration, I would. And they go away, they're finished, angry, because they don't know what they're asking. What they're saying is, tell me what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. So Sabine says, why didn't you tell him what he needs to hear? Well, what happens is, as a response to a person, it gives them their maximum potential. Sabine said, when you used to speak to me in the early days, it was like you were brutal, you were ruthless. But that's because, you see, something in me resonated with the part of her that was ready for that, that wanted for that. Of course, on one level she didn't. She was devastated, but she could take it and she could use it. And she did. She's one of the very few people that's hung in after hearing what she needs to hear. And she still does. Very, very few people are ready to hear what they need to hear. They want what they want. They actually want to be the way they are, where they are, how they are, and feel better. By feeling better, I mean, with the seeker, that they are at a new level of consciousness. But it's still within their framework. It's within their life. And without really realizing it, they're in control. If you're in control, you're not going anywhere. Because all you're doing, you're in a loop in the mind of what you've been programmed with, what gets projected onto your screen, what you see and feedback, you don't go anywhere. So what I was saying about this person that said they wanted to come was, if I was to write, and which I don't think I will, what I would write to them is, I would like to say this to you as gently and as sweetly as possible. There's no need for you to get disturbed or upset. And as I am observing you, hearing you, seeing what you write, what you say, how you say it, you have absolutely no idea whatsoever of what I'm talking about. Now, if you knew that, that would be great, because you could start from there. But you see, this person thinks they know what I'm saying. It's a spiritual arrogance. So if I say the word love, they say, oh yes, I know what you mean, love. And I say, no, you don't know what I mean when I use the word love. And they say, oh yes, I know you don't mean the normal love. I know you mean, and then they think they know what I mean. And they have absolutely no idea whatsoever. Which would be fine if they didn't know, but the trouble is they think they do. So they're stuck in the loop of their mind. They're not hearing me, they're hearing themselves. I'm going to explain that again. Sound does not travel, vibrations travel. The vibration in my throat vibrates the vocal cords with my intention to share. The air is vibrated. The ears of the other person picks up the vibrations. The vibrations go to some hairs, which change the hairs' frequencies to the drum. The drum then translates that to part of the brain that translates it into sound. Another part of the brain takes the sound and converts it into words. Another part of the brain converts the words into the meaning, but not my meaning. The meaning of the person that's listening. When Jesus says, the peace that passeth all understanding, you can't understand it. You see, you might say, ah, yes, beyond understanding. But you see, you can't understand beyond understanding. You can't understand it. It's not an intellectual thing. It's something that cannot be explained. Even whatever word you use, that's why it's the peace that passes understanding. It cannot be understood. If what is heard from somebody in the zone who has tuned into you and starts to resonate in a certain level in you, and you are open, you, as we say so often, you're not agreeing or disagreeing, you're not attempting to understand, you're not listening to your own interpretation of what the person is saying, you are not attached to anything in any way whatsoever, unless you die and allow a rebirth. No connection, no attachment, no conditions. You are ready to die. And this person tunes into you and resonates that place in you. It will feel like death. It could feel like hell. And it usually does for most people, not all people. Some people have it very sweetly. Many people who have near-death experiences have it very sweetly. You see, what happens is, whether you realize it or not, your brain, which is designed to keep you safe and secure and predictable, stores as much information as it can from your life, from other people's life, what you read, what you hear, and it's all in there to try and keep you safe, secure, and predictable. And that's its job. And then something comes along, slips past that defense system. See, the intellect, the knowing, that is the barrier to life, to living. It thinks about living. It has thoughts about living. It has ideas about living. But it's not living. You can't talk about living. You can just live. You can't talk about being alive. You can be alive as a little child. Alive. So if what is shared, either as a word or even in silence, and you are totally open and unconditional, ready to die, vibration will go in and turn your whole ideas of everything upside down, inside out. It'll annihilate it. You will realize you no longer know what you thought you knew. But not only that, you no longer don't know what you thought you didn't know. The whole thing is in chaos. And that's not the worst. You see, as I say that, you might say, oh, well, that's okay for me to let go of everything I know and everything I don't know. That's okay. Yeah, that's okay. But how about if you no longer know who it is who doesn't know who it is? Say you lose not only your identification, but you lose your identification with the person who no longer has an identification. You have nothing, nothing. There is nothing to stand on. There's no comparison. There's no place. It's like trying to work out the absolute speed of a rocket. You see, the absolute speed of a rocket compared with the planet, yeah, we can do that. But the planet's moving, you see. And the planet is moving in a universe that's moving. Everything's moving at all different speeds. So what's the speed of that rocket? We don't know. Who are you? You don't know. And not only do you not know who you are, you will never know who you are, ever. Because you're not anybody. You're not separate. You can have a sensation, a feeling, an idea to play in this dimension, but you suddenly start to see, but this dimension isn't really real. This is all shimmering, it's all a vibration. It's an illusion. So if this isn't real, what's real? And then you can't find anything real. Right at the moment, there's talking about the fifth dimension. I don't know what that means. They say we're in the third dimension, we're passing through the fourth, we're going into the fifth. I don't know what that means. All I get is everything we think we know is an illusion. And when your mind starts to see, experience, realize that it's no longer in control, which it never has been, it's all an idea, but it's not in control, panic. And usually that's called the dark night of the soul. That means this is no longer real and you don't have another reality. You're in between. Often when we went to talks, somebody had an awakening, but not a seeker. They'd come to the talk because they were in the kitchen, in the garden, and suddenly this thing happened. They went to the doctor, they went to the priest, they went, nobody could tell them what was. And then they hear that somebody else has been through that, and they're at home with it. If they come up afterwards, we usually say, wonderful. Just be with where you are. You're not going insane. You're going sane. It's the rest that's insane. They're all in a dream. They're sleeping. Actually, they're in a nightmare. In between, when the awakening is happened or starting to happen, and you haven't yet said a total yes to it, there's this disturbance in between. So we have seekers, we have meditators, we have yoga, all looking for something, but you see there's nothing to look for. It's all a trick. It's all an escape. Searching is an escape from here, now, just as it is. Just exactly as it is. And that might include your jealousy, might include your anger, might include your greed and your judgments. When the waking up happens, it happens with yes, this is who, how I am in this moment. And then as soon as you register who, how you are in this moment, and you are with it, all these things melt away. Not that they're not there anymore, but they no longer have any influence. The power is taken away. Oh, yes, so there's still a bit of that, a little bit of that, but it doesn't matter anymore. So seeking is avoiding. So people come and say, well, I want to hear what I need to hear. Oh, no, you don't. You want to hear what you want to hear, not what you need to hear. So it can be devastating, devastating to have every single thing in every single way dissolved and not know. Because the reality is, we don't. We don't know anything. We can't know anything. There's nothing to know. Because we are what we're trying to know.